22 billion, 55 billion. Whichever politician takes up post in the Treasury as Chancellor in the wake of this election has a plan to spend more money than previously seen under the recent government. I'm Katie Falls, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Robert Colville from the CPS to discuss the latest financial pledges made by John McDonnell and Sajid Javid. So, James, this week we've heard from the current Chancellor, Sajid Javid, and also the Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell, on what they plan for their economy if their party succeeds in this election. Now, there were clear differences, but the general headlines have been the fact that both of them are appearing as big spenders. Can you explain what both parties are pledging here?
So, you are right that both parties are pledging to borrow more money, to spend more money. The fiscal restraint of the last 9 years is well and truly gone. I mean, there is a difference in scale. The Tories are planning up to kind of £20 billion of extra spending on infrastructure a year. And that is a lot of money in anyone's book, but it is kind of within the kind of orbit of things that we have seen and Western governments do. Labour are talking about spending £55 billion. That is, I mean, at some point with billions, you begin to kind of lose track of it. But that is, when it's £10 billion here, £10 billion there, and you're soon talking about serious money. And I mean, there are genuine questions about whether you could even spend that amount of money a year extra if you wanted to. I mean, you certainly couldn't spend that amount of money extra a year in any kind of productive way. And I think the kind of question for the Tories is whether they can explain the difference between their increase in spending, which is considerable, but I don't think it is going to cause market fright, and Labour spending, which is so dramatic, I think it's very doubtful that the UK government could continue borrowing at the current very low rates if it was committed to this policy.
And just briefly, James, Sajid Javid is effectively tearing up one of the fiscal rules, which
tearing up lots of fiscal rules, yeah.
But specifically on borrowing, there's...
Yeah, so he is basically saying at the moment the government is meant to keep borrowing below 2% of GDP a year. He's saying that can go up to 3%, so they can spend more money. I also think, tellingly, and it suggests that this is going to happen, it used to be one of the government's fiscal rules that debt had to fall as a percent of GDP every year. So the economy had to grow faster than government borrowing. They are now saying that they just want borrowing lower as a percentage of GDP by the end of the parliament, which suggests that in the early years of the next parliament, debt is, even under a Conservative government, going to be increasing as a percentage of GDP.
Robert, you are the head of a think tank, which ultimately isn't usually associated with big spending, big government in that sense. Does what you're hearing from the Conservative Party worry you at all?
I think in an ideal world, government would spend very little money and yet provide us all with utterly wonderful public services at a fraction of the price. I think, as James says, this is a very significant course change from the government, but it's not about day-to-day spending. So what Javid is doing, and McDonald to an extent, is making a sharp distinction between, you know, your everyday day-to-day outgoings and bigger long-term projects. And his argument, and it's an economically respectable one, is that with interest rates so low, with the balance sheet having been repaired after the crisis, we're now in a situation where people are effectively, you know, paying the UK for the privilege of lending to us, you know. And so his argument is that if you can build things, roads, broadband, you know, schools, if you can do things which are, you know, which you can show and you can, you know, you expand the economy sort of more quickly than the debt repayment, then that's a sensible decision to make, which, again, you know, it's not it's a very significant course shift, but it's not just a course shift. Everyone's talking about this in terms of austerity. It's not just a course shift from austerity. The commitment to put public sector investment up to 3% of GDP, it's where it is in kind of basically most other developed countries, but that's far above where it's been in the UK for through the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. You know, it's not since the 70s. I mean, we had a brief spike after the financial crisis when we just poured lots of cash into shovels to try and stimulate the economy. But essentially, it's not been since the 70s that the government has been this committed to building basic infrastructure. And, you know, I don't think this is a cynical thing. I mean, when he was as community secretary, Sajid Javid wanted to do this. He was asked. He asked Philip Hammond and said, "Look, can I have some money to do borrowing?" And Hammond said, "No." So that was a really cruel Philip Hammond impression.
we're fine with that.
Yeah, and similarly, you know, Boris Johnson has always, you know, if you talk to Boris Johnson for more than 5 minutes,
Boris Johnson hasn't met a bridge he doesn't like.
He hasn't met a bridge he doesn't like. Exactly. So you know, they're both guys who really like infrastructure and building stuff and shovels. The difference, of course, is Labour. So the Tories say that they are going to do roughly 150 billion extra of borrowing over 10 years. Labour are saying, you know, 400 billion as a starting price. But actually, there's lots and lots of other stuff on their agenda. The nationalisation, we costed the upfront borrowing of that, borrowing cost involved in that is at least 176 billion. Admittedly, you gain an asset, as Labour keeps saying, but then you also run that asset in a completely different way, so it doesn't, you know, the calculations there are a bit weird. They also, they've talked about spending £80 billion to build loads more wind farms, and if you look, only £5 billion of that is in the £400 billion. The rest of it they're relying on the private sector to provide, although what private sector companies would actually loan to Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, especially after they've had all their other investments nationalised at cut price, is an interesting question. You know, so once you start adding up the bill, you know, £400 billion, which, as James says, is vastly more than has ever been spent by any Western government that we can think of, is only the starting price. It's so the kind of cruel way of putting it is the Tories are promising to spend what we can afford, and they will say, probably accurately, that Labour are promising to spend what we can't.
But James, isn't the slight problem here that by the Tories choosing to turn the taps on, perhaps not full flow, but you know, a decent amount coming out of them, they ultimately have taken some of the pressure off for Labour, because the headlines, the coverage is about both parties moving to high spend. So there might be a very big difference. But to lots of people, once you start talking about 10 billion, 20 billion, 50 billion, it starts to really sound quite similar. It's quite hard to quantify.
Yeah, because we none of us have ever had, think of it safe in saying this in this room, none of us have ever had...
I haven't seen my Christmas bonus.
None of us have ever had £1 billion. So the £33 billion, it's an amount of money that doesn't make... that doesn't compute to people. I mean, one of the things that's always striking is the government waste stories that stick in people's minds are generally not about billions of pounds. They're about a government, you know, an NHS trust paying £112 for something that you can buy at a pharmacy for £7. I mean, a hypothetical example. You know, I think if you watch how this was portrayed on the nightly news when McDonnell and Javid made these speeches, it's, you know, and this will, I think, this is what is alarming Tory cabinet ministers, is it is portrayed as both sides, both Labour and the Tories, are planning to borrow more and spend more. And I think their worry is that they've lost, in 2015, every time Labour made a spending pledge, the Tories would be like, right, are you going to borrow more or are you going to put up taxes? And that basically kept Ed Miliband and Ed Balls on the back foot permanently on that question during this campaign. I think their worry now is that when they try and attack Labour, people say, oh, but aren't you going to borrow more and spend more? I think they've got to find a way to get to a clearer argument about the sustainability of their spending and the difference in quantum, that, you know, how much extra Labour are having to borrow. And also that there is a, you know, I mean, the capital markets are prepared to lend to the UK government. I think they probably are prepared to lend to the UK government at the kind of levels of spending that the Tories are talking about. I mean, if you have a very left-wing government that wants to expropriate large amounts of private property and also wants to borrow huge amounts of money from the capital markets, I struggle to see how that equation adds up.
And just on that, Robert, when we're talking about the differences and perhaps the similarities, it probably doesn't help the Conservatives that you have respective figures such as Paul Johnson from the IFS saying that whichever party were to get in power after the election, you're going back to borrowing levels that we haven't seen since the 70s.
But also, Paul Johnson has said, I mean, I can't remember the exact quote, but he's basically said, you know, Labour's borrowing is like, oh my, you know, OMFG, whereas, you know, the Tories government is slightly more, you know, is you know...
Just OMG.
Yeah, OMG, okay, good. Yeah, no. You know, I mean, the way I put it in the piece I wrote for The Sun this morning, it's kind of like, it's a difference between, like, being offered a chocolate bar and being force-fed a dozen Yorkies. You know, that's the sort of difference in scale we're talking about.
Well, you've almost answered my final question to both of you, which is, how do you think the Tories should be selling this if currently they're being conflated? What is the thing they need to do to show that there is actually a big difference? James first, and we'll go back to Rob.
I think Rob is right. I mean, they need to explain the difference in scale and size. And I mean, they need to start pointing out that I think the advantage they have is people people don't think that the Tories are about to go completely crazy on this stuff. I think that Labour might do it. I think people are more suspicious of Labour on that front. I think they also need to start talking about some of the costs. Like, Labour are planning to offer everyone in the country double glazing provided by the government.
Oh, and that's another 140. So in that, and they say 200 billion. Turns out 60 billion is coming from the great big pot. Another 140 billion is going to be lent to homeowners, which will also presumably go on the government balance sheet.
Yeah, and I think things like that, because they are slightly smaller sums of money, might stick in people's minds. I think one of the things that the Tories can take encouragement from is that when Labour came out with its policy for a full-day week, quite a lot of Tories were worried about thinking, oh my God, it's going to be 2017 all over again. Labour will come out with some populist giveaway and the public will go, great, we'll have that. I am told that that policy bombs in focus groups because people just don't believe it's credible that they can work for 4 days a week and get paid the same amount as they currently do for working 5 days a week. And I think that is the kind of approach that the Tories need to take to deconstructing this, is it's just not credible to say that you can do all of this.
Robert, is it time to see OMFG spending on Tory leaflets?
I think they've probably got some better ways of putting it. But I mean, I think James is right. Just translating it into terms people are familiar with, you know, 55 billion a year, it's basically kind of half an NHS. That's the scale we're talking about. And, you know, if you suddenly, you know, that level of comparison suddenly hits home to people. You know, if you say, you know, one penny on income tax you know, 4.5 billion is roughly a penny on income tax. I'll need to check my figures, but that's off my top of my head. You know, so, you know, as you talk this up, you're looking at a very, very, very large amount of money. There is and if Labour are going to, as they say, reduce the debt over the course of the Parliament, the only way that can be funded is by massive tax rises.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, James. And if you like this podcast, do leave us a review. You may also notice while you're leaving us a review that we have redone our logo, just in case you have any thoughts on that.